So the following is a re-recording of something I said at the end of Haggadah night this evening on marking the war at our Seder. I just felt like I rushed it too much, and I needed to take a little bit more time to say this. In my regular Dvar Torah at Haggadah night, I talked about the imperative that the Gemara in Psachim expresses of Maschil Begnus and Misayim B'Shevach, that we're supposed to start with our shame, and then we end with the celebration of how far we've come. We talk about how our ancestors were idolatrous, we talk about how our ancestors were slaved in Egypt, and I talked about how we do that, at least in part, in order to recognize our potential. Look where we came from, and look where it led us. But what do we do when we're still living in the gnus stage, in the degradation stage? That's the problem of marking the war at our Seder. What do we do when we haven't reached the shevach, the high point? Our current state of gnus, our current state of shame, is partly about externals, like the slavery in Egypt, something that was done to us. The hostages are in captivity. There's a sense that, God forbid, Hamas might somehow survive this war. There's the awareness of Hezbollah and their threat, and behind them, Iran. There's the degradation of the name of the Jewish people globally with such venom against us. And then there's also the other kind of gnus, the other kind of degradation that expresses a sense of unworthiness on our part, which in the Haggadah is in the form of the Avodah Zarah, the idolatry of Terach. But for us, it's our lack of unity. That's also something we experience. We are in a state of gnus. We're in a state of degradation. So how do we express that at the Seder? How do we mark the war at our Seder? Two approaches. First approach, acknowledge it. Demonstrate it's there. Don't ignore it. And I'm sure you've seen the ideas that have gone around. I mentioned them at the top of the source sheet. The empty chair, photos of the hostages, putting the Hebrew names of the hostages on table settings. And that's one component of acknowledging it. Another component is davening for it to be different. On the source sheet, I put two tefillos, two prayers, which have been composed, one by the Ashkenazi chief rabbi, Rabbi David Lau, the other one by Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Rimon, both of them intended to be said before Vehisha Amda, before we talk about how in every generation they've stood against us, but Hashem has stood on our behalf. So Rav Lau's prayer, which I included there a translation, which was sent out by the RCA, calls upon Hashem to save the hostages, to help the hostages, and to help us overall in this time of trouble, plant brotherhood, peace, friendship in everyone's heart, remove jealousy, baseless hatred. Rav Rimon includes a more hopeful component, thanking Hashem for all that we have been given, and then asking Hashem to strengthen and protect the IDF and to take care of the hostages and so on. And those are certainly valuable, davening for things to be different, davening for the gnus to end. That's a key component here. I would like to add a piece to this approach, and that is to consider learning excerpts from Rav Kook at the first four stages of the Seder: Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz. Rav Kook's approach to the Seder is that it's not only about our historic emergence from gnus, from degradation, but also about our own emergence from degradation via the elements of the Seder. And I translated pieces of it in source number four on the back of the sheet. In Kadesh, he says, we don't say Kiddush as the name for that part of the Seder. We say Kadesh. It's a command. It's an imperative. Sanctify. The Haggadah calls upon each individual Jew to recognize that our actions have value, that our actions have holiness, that our actions have righteousness, and they plant righteousness. And it's a call to us, sanctify, grow, come out of the gnus. Then we move into Urchatz and then Karpas. So if Cook has an interesting philosophy of Karpas, I'm not going to go into the biology of this, but he argues the following. He says, when you eat and drink, the food represents the nutrition, and then the drink is the vehicle for conveying the nutrition. So when we dip the vegetables in the salt water or into the vinegar, the vegetable represents the nutrition, and the salt water, the vinegar, is the vehicle for it. And he says, it's like the food is our end. That's our goal. That's going to give us nutrition. And the liquid is the means of that. So he says, Urchatz, when you wash, the point is to say, I need to purify my ends and my means. That's what we're doing by washing. We are purifying our goals. We are purifying the means by which we achieve the goals. This is an important stage in our growth. And then we arrive at karpas. And he says, at karpas, we become physically elevated. And therefore, we become capable of spiritual growth as well. Once we have achieved physical sustenance, we're able to actually eat for pleasure. We're able to eat just because we enjoy it. That opens up for us an experience which is not bound by stress, which does not have narrow horizons, but instead has, as he puts it, the full range of human feeling. Our hearts are opened, and we're able to be elevated. We're able to be sanctified. Karpas is a state in which we become sanctified. We've now grown. We had the call for sanctity at Kadesh. We had the purification at Urchatz. We are now eating, and not just out of necessity, but for pleasure. We are enjoying ourselves. And that's able to bring us to a state of mind in which we can grow. That's the karpas. And then we get to yachatz. And with yachatz, we break the matzah. And as I brought on the sheet, Rav Kook says, when you break the matzah, you're recognizing, not everything is right within me. Yes, I may have achieved these heights, but not everything is where it needs to be yet. There's still something that is broken, and not only within us, but also within others. Reading out from my translation, one should also know that even if his dwelling is already strong, and he is fortified at his level and his ambition for a sacred broadening to which he has ascended by purifying his mundane aspects, still he should not forget that there is yet mundane eating in this world. Eating as a result of necessity, people who are not at that high level yet. He should turn his attention to the material as well as spiritual needs of the community, which is yet in the middle of its journey and has not yet achieved this level of eating at satiation. Recognize that we are still broken. And I think that's so relevant this year. When we come into Pesach with a feeling of brokenness, yes, there's that high from the failed Iranian attack, but overall there's such brokenness. And so we have to recognize that even as we ascend, even as we grow, maybe it makes sense to read an excerpt, at least the Yachatz excerpt, at our Seder. This is all with an approach number one, which acknowledges that we are down, which acknowledges that we are in a state of genus. But I want to also go to approach number two. Approach number two is to visualize that genus ending, to visualize the arrival of the Shevach, of the high, just as slavery in Mitzrayim ended, just as idolatry ended. We may not be there yet, but visualize what it's like to be there. Because I've been bothered by approach number one, right? Because we're not supposed to feel genus at our Seder. We're supposed to see ourselves, like I put in the last source, we're supposed to see ourselves as though we had escaped Mitzrayim. So what are we doing with empty chairs? What are we doing with the sense of we're still in Gnus? Heck, we're supposed to be feeling the Shevach. So I'm suggesting that we visualize what it will be like when the hostages are freed. What it will be like when the Chayalim are able to come home. What it will be like when Geula, when redemption finally arrives. And I think this is something to do primarily at the Hallel stage, at the end of Magid, when we start Hallel, and then again after the meal when we continue Hallel, to see ourselves as though we escaped Egypt. It's a hard thing to do, but we're used to visualization. We engage in visualization every Shabbos. We're supposed to see ourselves as though our week's work is done. We engage in this visualization on Yom Kippur. We see ourselves as though we had fully repented and we had fully changed. We can do the same here. We can visualize what it's going to look like when everybody comes home. You know, the Gemara in Shabbos says there are six questions that a Jew is going to be asked and when they move on from this world. And one of them is Tzipisa LeYeshua, which we usually translate as, did you anticipate salvation? But Etzofeh is a scout. Etzofeh is somebody who sees something, even though it's far away. Tzipisa LeYeshua may not be, did you anticipate salvation? But did you envision salvation? Did you actually envision it happening? Did you make that real for yourself in your mind? And maybe that's something we need to be able to do also. Yes, we can do the approach number one. We can do the empty chair. We can have the place names. We can read the excerpts from Rav Kook about being broken. But we should also save some space for visualizing the end of this, feeling the Shevach, when we say Hallel. I hope to talk more about that with the drasha on Shabbos HaGadol.